Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning, we go to the doctor's office, and today we have the emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital with us, Dr. Jeffrey Boomer. Doctor, good morning to you. Let's talk first about the COVID vaccine. Is it clear now who can get the updated shot and how?
It's very muddy. I think the guidelines are out there, but I think you're having different organizations weigh in on who they feel should have the vaccine. So I think right now, ages, if you're over the age of 65 and older, you qualify to get it no matter what. And then you can get this at, you'll be able to get this at your local pharmacy. So Walgreens, CVS, Jewel Osco. Mm-hmm. And some health clinics will have it. Some doctor's offices will certainly have it. But then after that, that's where it starts to get a little bit more muddy. So there are conditions, chronic conditions such as, diabetes, heart disease, chronic kidney disease. And then there's a subset of disorders that may not be necessarily thought of as those that would qualify you for the COVID vaccine. So depression and other mood disorders, obesity, even being physically inactive, those actually can qualify you to get the vaccine. So it's a little odd because then you've got the American Association of Pediatrics weighing in saying that they think that kids between the ages of 6 months and 23 months should get the vaccine as well, although those are not in the federal guidelines. So it's a little bit muddy, but I think things will probably change as we get into the true cold and flu season, which is we're already starting to see in our emergency departments.
Yes, you mentioned diabetes, and there's a new study about diabetes, and it's telling us that is it nearly half of people living with that disease are undiagnosed?
Yeah, this is in the Lancet, and it's a global study, so this is not just focusing on the United States, but globally, throughout the entire world, they found that they estimate about 44% of people 15 and older are undiagnosed diabetics. And most of these, are going to be type 2 diabetes that they're referring to in this study. But like you said, almost nearly half of the world is living with diabetes without even knowing it. And it can be, you can live with diabetes for some time before you start to have symptoms. And I think they went in and described in the study that, a third of people will be diagnosed after they even have, they have multiple symptoms. So it's, in other words, you can live with this for some time. And that's why the importance of screening is important, even in our younger years. They said in this article, 35 and under, or under 35 actually, were less likely to be diagnosed. Only about 20% of those actually know they have the disease. So screening early on is important. We're seeing this more and more prevalent in the younger population. I see this in the emergency department, not that infrequently, where a person comes in with an ailment. We end up getting some blood tests on them and find that their blood sugar is over 200, and they have no idea that they have diabetes. So I've seen this not that uncommonly in emergency department patients that I see. So I'm not surprised that globally we're seeing that this is actually much more of an epidemic than we probably thought it was.
Interesting. So the answer is make sure you get a blood test. It's a simple blood test, isn't it?
Simple blood test, yeah. It really is. A fasting blood test will tell you the answer. And obviously it's a preventable disease to some degree. I mean, there is a genetic predisposition to it. So some of us are going to be more prone to getting type 2 diabetes than others. But it all goes back to, eating, living a healthy lifestyle. So don't eat processed foods, stay active, eat a healthy diet, Mediterranean diet, plant-based diet is obviously a way to go. But it's screening is key. Earlier the better.
Yeah, we know what to do. We just have to do it. We hear a lot about falls, especially in older people. But now we're hearing some numbers that are pretty scary about the mortality among older adults climbing. What's this all about?
Yeah. So again, this is something I see frequently in the emergency department. I work in a night shift or the early morning shift. It's not uncommon to see elderly folks, getting out of bed that first part of the morning and falling. And these injuries, as you think, falling from a standing height or just getting out of bed, you think would be trivial. But I've seen some catastrophic injuries, major head trauma, spine injuries, hip fractures, not to mention the usual, you know, cuts and bruises and broken wrists and so forth. But yeah, over the last in 2023, they've seen that from over the last 30 years, this study showed that the number of deaths from falls tripled. So they found 41,000 Americans over the age of 65. Died from just falls. And so they looked at why, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why elderly fall. And of course, the highest at risk is the older you get. Over 85 is considered the high risk group here. But there's a lot of reasons why elderly fall. I mean, as we lose some of our functions in terms of our eyesight, we lose some of our, you know, the balance. It's something called proprioception, which helps us sort of coordinate and understand where we are in the world, so to speak. And then you mix that in with certain medications, that really just throws them over the edge. And I think that that's what the concern is that are we prescribing too many of these medications that they call these fall risk increasing drugs? Are we prescribing too many of these medications that are contributing to these falls? And I think that's the sort of movement that this article sort of pushes is, hey, maybe we should back off on some of these medications in this population, really think twice about whether or not they should be on them or not.
Yeah, sounds like that'd be a good idea. That, and as you get older, keep doing even the most basic of exercises, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
With emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Jeffrey Bomer, what is going on with this rise in a rat-linked illness lately in Logan Square and Westtown?
Yeah, so yeah, this is leptospirosis. So it's we've seen it before. It's a very rare bacterial illness. So I mean, Chicago sees probably a couple of these a year, but we've seen triple the number of cases. So we've seen, I think, 6 or 7 cases this year for whatever reason. Typically, this you're going to see this associated with floods or heavy rains in urban and even rural areas, for that matter. That's where you'll see these outbreaks, but it's associated with the urine in from rodents. So we know that we've had a rodent problem in the city for a long, long time. So those two factors put us at risk. So because there's been an increase in the number of cases, and including one death, I believe, there, I think the Chicago Department of Public Health has put out an alert to make sure that physicians are aware of this, clinicians are aware of this, so they're looking for this in patients that come in with the symptoms. So symptoms are going to seem like a regular viral syndrome. They're going to have fevers, chills, body aches, headaches, nausea, vomiting, some diarrhea, you know, but some people can progress and they can get severe disease, which can cause liver and kidney failure. So most patients aren't going to get that sick. Some people, this disease can actually resolve without treatment. But if you have those symptoms and you think you've been exposed, by all means, you should get yourself evaluated because antibiotics will cure this disease.
Yeah. Meantime, be careful in the alley.
Absolutely. Yeah. Stay away from standing water. Yeah. Uh-huh. And also working in the soil, working in the garden, that's the other area where it's the soil that may be contaminated as well. So if you're doing some work and you're doing some gardening, and if you've been doing a lot of work in the dirt and soil and so forth, that's a reason you get these symptoms, that's a reason to get yourself checked out.
Yeah, good to know in this nice weather. A lot of people doing that.
Yeah.
We get way too much misinformation about health and medicine on social media. But I do want to ask you about something that has exploded on social media, and they're calling it the supplement of the year, creatine. Is there anything to this?
So there is some to it. I will say that in my opinion, I think a lot of opinions out or will agree with mine that I don't think it's not a magic or miracle supplement, but I think it can for the right population that can be super helpful. So, you know, it's creatine has been around a long time. I think I remember, you know, back in my high school days, you know, some of my counterparts were using it to get themselves, you know, get maximize their workouts. And it's great for that. It really does help reduce your turnaround time in terms of your recovery. It helps you be able to put up a little bit more weight in the weight room. It may help your reflex time a little bit in the athletic field, but it's really what it's doing is it's these are amino acids that we can get in protein from food, from regular meats like red meat and chicken and fish. And what they do is they increase the lean muscle mass, particularly in men, And so it can be helpful in athletes that are trying to increase their lean muscle mass, but particularly helpful where I think where we may see a benefit is in our aging population, where we know that particularly men, but women as well, lose some of that lean muscle mass. So, you know, I think combining exercise, even some weightlifting along with the creatine can help prevent some of that muscle loss that we see in our aging population. So I think that there is definitely some benefit from that standpoint. There's been some very, very weak evidence in terms of its ability to improve our cognition or ability to think through things, especially when they've studied this with sleep deprivation. There's been some studies that show that it may help improve that. Mm-hmm. It may help improve, regulate blood sugar. Bone health, it's been shown to help improve that over time, and that makes sense because it's if you're improving our muscle mass, it's basically putting more stress on our bones, which helps our bones stay healthy. So there's been some weak evidence along those lines. I would not say that it is a miracle supplement by any means, but I think, again, for the right person, I think, an athlete that's trying to train harder, I think it's a good option. And then I think for our aging population that may be losing muscle mass, and then combining this with an exercise program can be super beneficial.
And I just have a couple seconds left, but I do want to ask you about this research about a nutrient in vegetables that may help fight cancer. What should we be including in our breakfast?
So this is zeaxanthin. So zeaxanthin, it's been widely known for a long time to be a good supplement for protecting our eyes. So there's now, and you can get zeaxanthin. You'll see it in like kale, spinach, leafy greens, and corn. So, but there's been studies that show that it may help in treating cancer. Now, I wouldn't start stocking up at the Walgreens or your local pharmacy and taking the supplement for that purpose, but there are studies that show that it may help slow the growth of certain cancers with appropriate therapy. So, mm-hmm. Long story short, it may help some of our cancer-fighting cells that are called T cells or CD8 T cells that may help those cells fight cancer a little bit more effectively. So the thought is that they're going to look at some studies that pair this supplement with immunotherapies that help boost those T cells, and they think that may actually help reduce the cancer burden on patients. So more to come, but I think it's exciting that something that we have readily available may help treat cancers in the future.
Dr. Jeffrey Bohmer, thank you. I'm headed for the kale and creatine buffet right now. Talk to you very soon.
Sounds good, Bob.